And welcome to the live stream this morning. I'd like to open in a word of prayer. We have lots to pray for. So let's just turn our hearts toward the Lord this morning and give him all the praise and worship that he deserves. He is our God. He is our King. He is our glorious Lord. And we come before him this morning, before his presence, and we invite him to be a part of this live stream this morning as we bring forth his word that he has spoken to each of us this week. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time that we can meet with you and with the people that you have called to be part of this today. We also want to thank you, Lord, for the way you orchestrate the affairs of man. And we trust you with every decision that is made, Lord, because we know that no decision made ever changes your power or your might or your plans and purposes. And for this, we give you praise. We want to pray for our leaders this morning, Father, our government leaders, our county leaders, our state leaders. Father, we want to pray for them. We want to lift them before your throne, and we want to ask that you work in and through them, Lord, as they lead, as they govern the things of this country, Father. Give them your wisdom. Give them your plans. And, Lord, give them your voice, Father, and we thank you for that. We want to pray this morning for those who serve in the military, Lord. And we want to thank you for the ones that have given their lives so bravely, Lord, for our country and for our world. Lord, we want to thank you this morning for our families, our churches, Lord. And we want to ask, God, that you would make a difference in all of our lives this year, Father, that we would change our ways and become more like you. And now, Father, I just want to ask you to be with those that have the COVID virus, Father. Lord, there are so many that are coming down with this, Father, and we pray that, Lord, you would raise them up from this, Father, from this disease, from this pandemic, Lord. We pray for safety for our families, our children, our all the children, Lord, in our communities, Father, and in our nation, that, Lord, you would raise someone up that would have a cure, Father, that would be able to come up with a vaccine so that this virus can be stopped, Lord. But we know, Father, that you are the ultimate healer in this. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. So now open our hearts to receive the word, Lord, today. And we thank you for it, Father, because it comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, I have a grandson now that's in the military. And he's stationed in Korea, South Korea right now. He left a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, now I really have to pray because I know he's over there doing what God has called him to do. But anyway, I want to share with you something out of 1 Samuel chapter 8 this morning. And I want to say that this is something that the Lord gave me before the elections, before we ever knew the outcome of what was going to, you know, who was going to be the next president of our country. Because I had said to him, Lord, how do you want us to pray for those that are running? And he led me to 1 Samuel chapter 8, and we're going to read a couple of the verses in here. And this is when Israel asked for a king. And of course, we know their first king was Saul. But Samuel was the prophet, and he was a man that God had raised up from a very young age. He heard the voice of the Lord when he was just a small child. When he was brought to the temple, and he was given to the temple by his mother, given to the Lord. And he heard the voice of the Lord at a very young age, and the Lord said to me, the first thing that you need to know is that you have to hear the voice of the Lord. And I thought, you know, that is so true. And Samuel was a faithful prophet throughout his whole life, serving Israel and serving God, and hearing what God said and telling the people what God said. So, you know, he's one of my heroes. I have a lot of Bible heroes, but Samuel is one of my heroes. So I'm going to read to you 1 Samuel 8, 1 to 9, and then we're going to look at some of those scriptures that are in there. So if you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Samuel chapter 8, starting at verse 1, and I'm going to read the first 9 verses. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said this, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Listen to all the things the people are saying to you, for it is not you they are rejecting, but they are rejecting me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you, not doing this to you." All right, and then he said, "Now listen to them, but also warn them solemnly and let them know what the king will reign over them will do." So the first thing the Lord showed me in this portion of scripture was, well, Samuel was getting older. He was up in age, and so he kind of set his sons over some of the things that he had been doing. But it says that his sons did not walk in his ways. They did not follow, you know, maybe in the relationship that God had with Samuel. And it said that they were doing some things that were not pleasing to the Lord. They were kind of involved in some dishonest gain. They accepted bribes, and they perverted justice. Wow. Well, so all the elders of Israel comes to Samuel, and they say, you know, they see this is going on now. Samuel's old, and they probably figure it's time to retire him. And they say to him, "Okay, you're old now, Samuel, and your sons don't walk in your ways, so we want a king. We want a king to lead us, just like the other nations have." Now, what's wrong with this picture? Is there anything wrong with having a king? No. We have lots of kings, right? We have kings, even today. Well, you know, it was part of God's covenant agreement with Israel, with Abraham, actually, where he said to Abraham, he said that, "I'm going to make of you great nations, and I'm going to make kings. Kings are going to come out from you." So it was God's plan that they would eventually have a king. But you know, I don't think the timing was right. And there was something also interesting about this king that God wanted. You know, the king that God wanted was to come from the tribe of Judah. You know, David was from the tribe of Judah. And also, Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, the King of Kings, the one that we have today as our King of Kings. And there was also something that Moses said to them in Deuteronomy 17. He says, "When you have entered and have settled in the land the Lord your God has given you, if you say, 'Let us set a king over us like all the other nations around you,' be sure of this one thing, to appoint over you the king the Lord your God chooses." Wow. That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? Now, I want you to know, I got this before we ever elected our next president. I got this in prayer, asking the Lord to show me, lead me in this, Lord, okay? So in 1 Samuel 8:6, it says that the request for a king displeased Samuel. As soon as they came to him with this request, "We want a king that looks like all the other nations. We want somebody that we can put out there and people are gonna notice that we have this great king. We want someone else to lead us." Wow. Well, this grieved Samuel's heart because he knew this was not God's will. And here's what he does. And this is a beautiful picture of a person that loves the Lord, that follows God. He went to prayer immediately. I'll go back to that scripture. It said it grieved his heart, but Samuel, so he prayed to the Lord, and then the Lord answered him. How many times do we pray to the Lord for something that's going on in our lives or even in our country? You know, how much time have we spent praying over big decisions that are going to be made for our country that will affect all of our lives, right? Wow, that's a big call. But you know what happens when we pray? Prayer brings God into every aspect of our lives. That is something powerful. Before we go put on the daily news, got to know what's going on in the world, right? Before we go put on the news and get upset and aggravated over what we hear, why don't we go to the Lord and say, Father, what is the good news that you have for us today? What do you want to tell me today? You know, because we think that the news media has something that's going to, that they, you think, we think it's going to give us some good news, but it really doesn't. You know, Jesus said in Luke 18, he said to his disciples that they should always pray and not give up. Now, there are many people that might be disappointed today because of some of the things that have happened this week, but you know what? God hasn't changed. He's still the king of the universe. He still rules. He owns the earth. He rules. He has not changed. His power hasn't diminished. So I'm going to still pray. I'm probably going to pray even more now than I did before. But you know, Jesus said that we should always pray and not give up. We should be persistent. And then he said, and God will bring justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night. That's an awesome scripture. So in choosing a king, they wanted someone who would represent them well on the world stage, someone to go before them into battle. So they went and said, give us a king. Up to that point, Israel's government had been ruled by God himself, and God was their king, and he ruled through direct guidance, through special revelation, through the written word, and through chosen and anointed leaders such as Samuel. Samuel was God's spokesman for that day in his generation, and he was faithful to the call God had given him. But when Israel requested a monarchical government, that's kind of like what they have in England with the queen, you know, what happens with that is that instead of God choosing the king, the next in line would take the office, like the king's son, right? So that set in motion something that they didn't have. And when you look at the kings of the Bible, if you ever read the books of Kings and Chronicles, you can see that there were some kings that did a good job for God. They honored God. They loved God. But there were also some kings that did some terrible things, and it brought judgment, and it brought them into bondage. It brought them to become slaves in other nations because they had kings that didn't follow the Lord and love the Lord. So when they requested this, their kings took office by virtue of hereditary succession instead of God choosing. So, you know, it's amazing how one mistake, one wrong move can change the whole course of a country's life, right? It can change everything. So when this all happened, Samuel went before the Lord, and the Lord said to him, okay, you can choose, just do what they say, we'll give him a king. And so when we get down a little bit further from verses 13 to 20, the people are going to hear, they said, okay, we want a king. And then Samuel says, well, this is what the Lord would say to you. If you get a king, here's what's going to happen. So in verses 13 to 20, I'm just going to pick out a couple of points in there. He says, if you want this king, and God will give you a king, and here's what he's going to do for you. And this is what's going to happen. He's going to take your sons and make them serve him. He's going to make them take care of his chariots and horses. He'll make them commanders over thousands in your army, and you're going to be plowing his ground and taking in his harvest instead of your own. Your daughters will become cooks and bakers, and he will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves. He'll take the crop, the best of them, and he's going to give them to his attendants. And he will take the best of what you own, your servants, your cattle, your donkeys, for his own use. Now, somebody said to me, okay, if you choose this king, he's going to take everything you own, pretty much. And would you want someone like that? I don't think so, right? No, but see, they're choosing a king that is like them, a man, a human figure, just like the other nations. They're not choosing someone that God has told him, it was because God said, you will have a king. It was in the covenant with Abraham, you will have a king. But make sure that the king that you have is one that I have told you to choose, right? So, oops. And the other thing is that he's going to take a tenth of what you own. Well, taxes. Thank you, Nick. But you know what? God commanded them to give a tenth to him, right? First, the best of their crop. And now they're also going to have to give some money to the king that they want to rule over them. So what do you think they're going to do next? All right. Well, in 1 Samuel 8:7, it said that God permitted the appointment of the king to teach his people that no type of government on earth will resolve their problems or guarantee peace and safety as long as sin exists in the people's hearts. You know that? Jesus said in Matthew 6 that we are to seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. We are urged to choose and to seek above all else God's kingdom and his righteousness. Joshua, when he came to the end of his life, said to the people of Israel, choose whom you will serve. Who will you follow? Will you follow after the things of the world, or will you follow after God, after the kingdom of God? So how do we know when we are experiencing the kingdom of God? Romans 14:17 says, an essential evidence that we are experiencing God's kingdom is a life of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, what happens on election night in our country does not determine my peace. It doesn't determine where I stand with the Lord. It doesn't have anything to do with that. Because I am not following an earthly kingdom. I am following God's kingdom and his righteousness, and I'm listening to him. So it's not gonna make me unjoyful. It's gonna make me still happy. I'm happy because I'm a believer and I love Jesus. And I've got news for you. He wins the war. Man does not win the war. The kingdom of God is not for those who seldom pray or who compromise with the world, or neglect the word and have little spiritual hunger. The kingdom of God are for men like Joseph, when he was tempted in prison, did not deny God or would not sin against God. They are for people like Nathan, the prophet that was there when David sinned, who was bold enough to go to David and confront him with the sin that was in David's life. They are like men like Daniel and his three friends, who would not defile themselves with the king's food or deny God when they faced their lives faced death. And God preserved them. They didn't die in the fiery furnace. Daniel didn't die in the lion's den. God protected him. The kingdom of God is made up of people like Queen Esther, who was at once just a servant girl, and she became queen of a nation, because she would not be willing to risk her life to save. She was willing to risk her own life to save her own people. And for Mordecai, who refused to bow down to anyone but God. These are my heroes. For Ruth, who chose to serve God and not go back to her own people. She said to her mother-in-law, your God will be my God, your people will be my people. I want to serve the God that you serve, because she saw something in her life that made her want what was there. So in 1 Samuel 8:6, when Samuel prayed to the Lord, you know, he didn't go into any discussion with these people that said, we want a king. But he went before the Lord, and he listened to hear what God had to say. And God said to him, you know what, Samuel? They did not reject you, but they rejected me. They chose a king, a human, mortal king over me. And Samuel, you know, that was a hard thing for Samuel. It was hard to think that these people had chosen a man instead of God to lead them. Well, you know, the same question can go out to us today. Are we going to choose God to lead us? You know, this wasn't an easy decision for Samuel. He knew what was coming. This is going to bring them into a place where they're going to have some hard, they're going to have some troubles. And it was a hard thing for Samuel. But you know, through it all, Samuel himself remained faithful to God and his purposes throughout his life. He never deviated from his original personal integrity, mission, or message. He made it clear that God's blessing and the nation's welfare are conditioned not on having a king, but on their response and reverence and service to God, and a full obedience to his covenant word. You know, as we go a little further in the story, I kind of had read through 8 through about 12. They did get a king. God told Samuel who to pick. He says, go to this place, and there's a man there. He's going to be king, and he's a head taller than everybody else. So, you know, let's give him a king that's taller than all the other kings. So then maybe they'll think he's more powerful, right? And, you know, Saul wasn't saying, yay, I'm going to be king. He was like, oh, who am I? I am from the smallest tribe in Israel and from the weakest group in that clan, and you want me to be king? But in obedience, Samuel went, called him, anointed him, and when he anointed him, the Holy Spirit came on Saul, and he stepped into the office that God had called him to. But you know what? Samuel, in verse 22 to 24 of chapter 12, of 1 Samuel 12, something happened in this chapter. They were coming up against an enemy, and fear gripped them. And all of a sudden, Samuel goes to the people and he says, don't worry, God is coming. If we turn our hearts back to the Lord, God is going to be with us. You know, no matter how far into sin and disobedience a person goes, there is this God who has this grace that he pours out and this mercy that he pours out, and he forgives. And Samuel says in verse 23, and I love this scripture, he says, and far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. And then consider the great things that he has done for you. You know, it's so easy when things don't seem to go the way we want them to go to say, I'm not going to pray anymore. What good did that do? You know? But Samuel said, I would be sinning against God if I don't pray for you. Prayer, again, connects us to the will of God. It connects us to hear him and to hear what he has to say. Samuel also said, I will teach you the way that is good and right. You know, when I look through the Old Testament, I see some of the leaders that God raised up, Moses and Joshua and others. And, you know, there came a time like when God just wanted to turn his back on the people and say, oh, I give up. You know, they're just not walking the way I want them to walk. But again, someone interceded and prayed. Okay, we got this now. But Lord, don't turn away from your people. And God used Samuel many times in this way, where he was able to get the people back to saying, trust the Lord, don't fear, believe, turn away from your sin and your wickedness, get back on track with God. You know, we can always get back on track with God, always. That's his heart. His heart is to save, to redeem, to deliver, to set us free from the bondages of sin that will pull us down. You know, if you think that you are immune to sin, we live in this world, don't we? And it's all around us. And we need God's help in every situation. He says, but be sure of this, fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart and consider what great things he has done for you. You know, sometimes we have to go back, you know, and because, you know, the enemy wants us to think of all the bad things. He likes to fill our heads with garbage. But, you know, my mind is not a garbage dump for the enemy. So I'm going to remember the good things that God has done for me in my life, all the blessings. And there are many, so many that I probably couldn't even count them. Serving the Lord for the years that I've been with him has been the most rewarding journey I have ever been on in my whole life. It's been amazing. You know, there is nothing in this world, because God says there is no one greater than him. All things are possible for him to do. And when he speaks a word, he does it. You can stand on it. It's solid. It'll come true. Nothing can stop the forward movement of God's kingdom if we do what Jesus said, to seek him first. Samuel chose to seek him first. The people chose their own minds. They wanted a king. But Samuel decided that God was his king, and he was always going to be his king. And before he listened to the people, he was going to hear God. So Jesus said, seek him first. And Jesus, we know by reading the Gospels, when we see his lifestyle, he did that. He always went before the Lord, the Father, and he always asked what God wanted him to do. And he did. He said, I don't do anything unless I hear the Father tell me or see the Father do it. So today I want to say, rise up, believer, and choose to be numbered with those who believe, those who will do great things for God. You know, one little nugget that the Lord dropped into my spirit, and I want to share this with you before I close, was in John chapter 14:12, where Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father. And the word that stood out to me was greater things. Wow. You know, we may be in the middle of a pandemic, and we have many problems in our country, many people out of work. We have a lot of things going on. But you know what? I am going to aim for the greater things in Jesus Christ, those greater things that he has for us as believers. So I just would like to pray for us for a few minutes before we close. And I also want to remind you of the prayer call. Now, Tim mentioned our prayer call on Wednesday mornings from 12 to 1. And it has been a wonderful time in the Lord. And you know what makes that prayer call so wonderful? Because the people that come together, many times the Lord has put on our hearts the same theme. And you know, that is such a wow moment for us, because we know that then we've heard from the Lord and this is what he wants us to do. Well, there's also another prayer call this week. 2 months ago, we started a once-a-month prayer night here at the church. It was second Thursday of the month. And that we started coming together to pray for our government, our election, our leaders. And we are going to continue to join in prayer every second Thursday of the month. So this coming Thursday is our prayer call event. And we will do it over the phone, because we are not allowed to come together in the church right now because of the virus. So the number that was on the screen earlier, and I think they're going to put it up again, write it down and join us. Call in between 7 and 8 o'clock on Thursday night, and let's pray together. Let's do what Samuel did. Let's go before the Lord. Let's see what the Lord wants to do. Let's ask him to speak to our hearts and show us what are some of the greater things that he has for us in the coming weeks and year. Because he never changes. He is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And his heart is always for his people. So, Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for being such a wonderful Father. Thank you for lifting us up, even in the midst of despair and disappointment and hard times that we see happening in our nation, Lord. We know who our God is. And we, like Samuel, come before your presence this morning, and we ask that you, Lord, would be Lord over our nation, over our lives, over our families, Lord. We lift up before you tonight or today, Lord, the things that we want to hear from you, Lord, the things that are important to you to move your kingdom forward in the areas you have placed us. Give us ears to hear, Lord. We open our hearts and our spirit before you, and we ask, God, that you, Lord, even in the midst of the COVID virus and when things have to come to a standstill, Lord, we can still hear you. You can still lead us and guide us and speak to our hearts. We ask God today, as we end this service, we ask your blessing upon each life, each person that is here listening. And we pray for our pastors, Lord, that you will guide them and keep them safe, Father, as they travel. We pray for our schools here in Walton. We pray that you will protect our children, Lord, from the virus. We pray for people who are needing jobs today, Father, that you will be their provider. And Lord, we pray for ourselves, Father, that you will continually flow in and through us and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Tim.